The sermon for today is Answers to Prayer. And I'll have you note that when I titled it Answers to Prayer, I didn't title it something like When God Answers Your Prayers. I just titled it Answers. Because sometimes the answer isn't what we want. And sometimes it's way more than we want. So we're going to talk about that today, but we're going to start with 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of in Him. May the Lord grant us a greater understanding of these words. Prayer has always been in the Bible. It starts all the way back in Genesis. The first prayer, do you know what the first prayer was? It was right after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. God is walking in the garden. I think we talked about this part of the Bible last week. God is walking in the garden and they hide. And God calls out to them, "Where are you?" Now, I had a deacon who always told the joke of how bad must God have been at that point if He only had two humans on the earth and He lost them. But God knew where they were. He was giving them a chance to reply. He said, "Where are you?" And they said, "We're hiding." He says, "Why? How can you hide from God?" And they say, "We were ashamed because we were naked." And God replies, "Who told you you were naked? How'd you even have a concept of what naked was? Did any animals all wearing clothes at that point? It looked like the Chronicles of Narnia. They're all wearing little sport coats and hats and stuff. No. Nobody was wearing clothes at that point. You think God was wearing clothes? You think God needs to wear clothes? Clothed in the heavenly brilliance, God is. Nobody's wearing clothes. So how did they know they were naked? What does naked mean to people who have never seen anybody else? And all the animals are just covered in fur or whatever they have, scales. And the temperature is just right all the time. What's the point of clothes? We wear clothes to keep us safe from the environment, to cover up our naughty bits, and, well, because we want to be fashionable. I'm not fashionable and I know it. Anyway. So they say we're naked. Well, why is this a prayer? Because it's a conversation with God. You could say that the first one was God telling Adam, "Don't eat of the tree that's in the middle of the garden," but that was really a one-way conversation. We don't have any recording of Adam talking back. It was just a hearing a voice from the sky. You know, like Jesus, when He got baptized, He is down in the River Jordan, and the light comes from the sky like a dove, and the voice speaks and says, "This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." That was not a prayer. That was God speaking. There wasn't an exchange of ideas, nothing going back and forth. But the first conversation between God and humanity was after Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit. And then God casts them out of Eden. And it's been a bum rap for us ever since then. First prayer didn't go over too well, did it? Adam and Eve are in the garden and they're ashamed because they're naked. They're not just ashamed because they're naked. They're ashamed because they transgressed against God. They're ashamed because they went against His commands and they get kicked out for that. Do you think if we had a full record of everything that they said, because I'm pretty sure the Bible doesn't record everything said by every person in it all the time. Jesus ministered for 3 years. We have 20 pages of text. I think He said more than that. But the whole record isn't there. I think Adam and Eve would have said something along with, "No, please, don't. don't kick us out of the Garden of Eden. But God did it anyway. God answers prayers. He tells us directly that God will always hear us. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened, Jesus says. But sometimes God has another thing that he's working on in mind. There is also, prayer is not just us talking to God about us. What did we pray about up here today? Most of us raised our hands for other people, didn't we? Most of us asked prayers for somebody else. Why do we do that? It's called intercession. Sandra?
We care.
We care. That's good. We care. It's called intercession. When you pray for somebody else. When you pray for other people to come to Jesus. When you pray for other people's healing. When you pray for other people's well-being. It's called intercessory prayer, if you want to use the big words for it. A lot of the prayers in the Bible are one-on-one prayers. Lord, help me. Save me. Do something for me. Until you get to the prophets. The prophets are all about praying for other people. Lord, help them. Show them. Teach them. Make it so that the things I prophesy don't come to pass. Prayer is like the utility tool with God. Now, we've had it out there. I think Sandra put a really nice thing on the sign one time. Talking about an email. Or prayer. It's what was the one you put up there, Sandra? Prayer?
God doesn't answer email. He answers prayer mail.
Prayer mail?
I think something like that.
There was another one. It was about cell phones, I'm sure, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like the needs no wireless carrier or something along those lines. I can't remember what she said. But it was good. You're working off a list somewhere. Prayer is that connection to God that we have. When Jesus was among the disciples walking among them, they were criticized. Because when they came to a feast that was supposed to be a feast of mourning, the Pharisees came and said, how come... It's weird to call it a feast of mourning because it involved fasting. The Pharisees came and said, why aren't your disciples fasting? Why aren't they putting on sackcloth and ashes like everybody else? Apparently it was their version of Lent. Why are they rejoicing and eating normally and doing this? And Jesus said, when the bridegroom is with them, how can the bridal party help but rejoice? Basically meaning if you're at a party, party. Jesus said this to the Pharisees who didn't know that he was the Messiah. God was among Adam and Eve right there in the garden. And it wasn't until they got kicked out that they had to work hard. And the curse was in the book of Genesis when they got kicked out. When Adam and Eve were kicked out, it said, the women would have pains during their labors, and the men would struggle and fight the ground to produce food. You just imagine punching the ground until food comes up. Nathaniel's not back there. I know he plays Minecraft. If he had to punch the tree until the food comes out, right? Yeah, you do too? Okay. You have to punch the stuff until the food comes out of it. That's what the image is in Genesis. You punch the ground until corn comes out. But people had to fight and struggle against nature in order to make their daily bread, when before they'd been in this perfect garden where everything was provided for them. And so they rejoice when they're in the garden, but then they mourn when they're out of it. And we pray to God in our state of mourning to help us. How many of you pray when you're really happy? How many of you pray every time you're really happy? Okay, Nancy. Nancy's the only one here.
I thank God all the time.
Thank God. I forget sometimes. When I'm really happy about something, I'll forget to get down on my knees and pray to thank God about it. When Katie came in, she came into my office. Sorry, I didn't mean to do it again. She came into my office after she had gotten the call that she got her job in Alabama. And Jesus grabbed me by the hand and brought me in here to the cross and said, I got it done. Didn't say a word the whole time. Tears running down her face. And then they were running down mine after that, too. But I'm going to show you that I cry. But that was, we get down, we got Caitlin over here, and we said, we're going to pray. We're thankful. A lot of people don't remember to pray when they're happy. Sometimes I don't either. But when we're sad, when things aren't going well, when we're hurt or in the hospital or injured and waiting for an ambulance to come and we're lying there, something, that's when everybody remembers to pray. That's when you absolutely remember. How many people have ever seen a movie where somebody cries out to God in the middle of some problem? Even if it's not a religious movie. Even if the entire rest of the movie, they're the worst person in the world. You know what happens to a lot of people is they cry out to God when they're in anguish, and then as soon as the relief comes, they'll forget all about God. But that's the human condition. We are cast out of the garden when we are in God's presence. And then we're out here in the world where we have to struggle to survive. Even if we're having a really good day, then the tax man comes and we remember. We struggle to survive. And it's easy to forget God in the midst of all that struggle. It's easy to say, yo, please help me, God. And then the doctor comes and, you know, gives you your treatment and you feel better. You go, oh, thank you, doctor. The movie we watched a couple of, was it last month? We watched Do You Believe was the name of the movie. Part of it was the guy who played Samwise Gamgee in Lord of the Rings was a doctor in that movie. And at the beginning of the movie, he looks at a couple of people who were praying in a restaurant and goes, you know, I'm sick of this. They pray to God. I'm the one who heals them. And then they thank God after I'm done. A long time ago, I saw an episode of The Simpsons. And Bart Simpson, how many of you have ever seen The Simpsons? A few of you? Shame on you. It's kind of hard to have missed it. It's been on TV for 30 years. An episode of The Simpsons that Bart Simpson, they get together at dinner and they're going to pray. And they ask him to pray. And he says, why should I thank God? Mom made this meal. But that was an easy one to take and make a Bible study out of. Because you could show all the way back who made the food before your mom did. Well, the factory worker. Well, who made the food before the factory worker got a hold of it? Well, the farmer. Well, who had the food before he did? One of the GMOs who make the seeds. No. And who had the food first? There's always that wonderful joke about the scientists who go to God and say, we know how to create life. And God goes, oh, okay, show me. So they go and pick up some dirt, and he says, hang on, get your own dirt. Right. I think I've told that one before. But we struggle to come up with God's work in our lives a lot of the time. We struggle to see God's hand if we're not looking for it. But we know that God is there. We know that God is working. But if you don't know God, then you don't see it. And that's why Paul, God had to make it really clear for him. Paul, when he was named Saul, is walking on the road going to arrest a bunch of Christians. And suddenly the voice speaks from the heaven, the light shines around him, he's struck blind. Why? Because Saul didn't know God. Saul was a priest, was a Pharisee. He was supposed to know God. He had spent his whole life training to know God, but he didn't know God. Sometimes we can miss him unless we have an active prayer life. Unless we get to talk directly to him on a regular basis. Unless you are doing that, it's all just head knowledge. Everything you know about God, you can read the Bible 100 times, believe in Jesus, and never talk to him. And at that point, you're still not really following. There are people who have devoted their entire lives to serving Jesus and are doing wonderful, wonderful works, but don't know Jesus because they don't talk to him. And when they do, it's all about them. I want me, now. Give me. We are supposed to have a conversation with God. The recording that we have in the Bible of the Eden account, Adam and Eve don't ask for anything. Like I said, they probably asked for it, but we didn't write it down. But they don't ask for anything. It's just talking to God. How many of you get together with your best friend and the first thing both of you start doing is asking each other stuff? You know, I don't walk over to Don and just start saying, Don, I want your coat. Don, I want your tie. Don, I want your shirt. Don, I want some of your hair. Don, I want your... You know, that's not what I do. I ask Don how he's doing. I ask, what his life has been like to tell me who he is. Well, this is the getting to know him part of the time. And then we talk about how we've been. He asks me something. We talk about some topic that we like. And we talk about Boy Scouts a lot. Mostly because he's always at a Boy Scout function. I want to know how it went. But we talk. We share jokes. I do the same thing with each of you when I talk to you, don't I? That's how we're supposed to talk to God. It's supposed to be a friendship, a walking alongside and engaging together. And it's far too easy to sit down with our laundry list and start down it with God, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of what we do on Sunday mornings. You know, but Jesus taught us to pray in that. When he said, go into a private place and pray our Father. A lot of those things were requests, but it starts off with, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Why did he set it up like that? Start with praising the Lord. Start with recognizing his awesomeness and power. And then move on to give us this day our daily bread. He gave us a model to go with. And if you notice, when I pray up here at the pulpit, I follow that model. That's why sometimes you can catch some of the same stuff in my prayers week after week. Because I'm following the model of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave us a rote, memorized thing, and I want to add that connection to God too, but I still follow that. But when I talk to God, when I'm just, say, driving around, or when I'm just doing the dishes or something, I talk to God like he's right there with me. Thank him, and I praise him, and I talk to him about what's going on in my life. And God answers prayers. Sometimes it takes longer than you want. We hoped that Katie would have gotten her job the first week she started applying. Even before, there was a job opening back in October of last year. And we were really hopeful that she was going to get that one, but she didn't get it. Come to find out, they didn't hire anybody. But she's back there going, But sometimes when God answers our prayers, he makes us wait a little while. Abraham and Sarah praying to have a baby. How long do you think they were praying to have that baby? It wasn't until Sarah was 90 years old. You think she started at 20? Oh, this is biblical time. She probably started at 13 praying for a baby. Probably started as soon as she met Abraham praying for a baby. God didn't answer her for 13 to 9, 80 years almost? 77 years, something like that? God didn't answer her for 70 years. How many of you could keep praying for the same thing for 70 years and not lose faith in God? Sometimes God tells us to wait. And you know what God did? He tells Abraham to take Isaac up to the top of the mountain and sacrifice him. Now, why do you do that? You know how easy it could have been after praying for 70 years to have a baby, to turn that baby into an idol? You know how easy it could have been for them to just start worshiping that kid? God was making sure they didn't do that. You need to sacrifice your idol to me, is what that story is all about. And also God's faithfulness to answer and to keep his promise. God answers prayers, and sometimes he doesn't answer them the way we want. Sometimes he doesn't answer them at all. Sometimes God says no. Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden. God said no. I told you what I was going to do, and now I'm going to do it. How many parents have said that to your kids? I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. I was watching Orton Here's a Who last night, so I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. What did he say? An elephant is a promise, 100%, something like that. After that. I want to look right now at James chapter 4, verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. How many people do you think were praying for that $393 million lottery ticket that just got won this week? How many people were praying for that because they were praying and going, oh, if I win that, I can get a new house, I can buy a sports car, I can go on more vacations, I can not have to worry about how much money I have in the bank every week. How many people would think we're praying that? Yeah. James is talking about this. Right before he talks about that, he says, you kill and you covet, you quarrel among each other. You ask, but you don't receive because you're asking wrong. Yeah, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because we're asking for the wrong thing. Or because we're asking because in a selfish way. I know I have a 2.5-year-old, and sometimes she's asking for something that I don't want to give her. Because she doesn't need another jug of chocolate milk. Because she doesn't need candy at 11 o'clock at night. When she's a teenager, she can have another jug of Mountain Dew. It's 9:30. No. Why aren't you in bed? It's going to be the same thing. Sometimes God just doesn't want for us to have what we're asking for. So there's only two reasons. Maybe three. Why God doesn't answer your prayer the way that you ask. The first one is he says no. Maybe because he doesn't want you to have it, but God's reasons are his own. Or because you're asking for the wrong thing. Those are the two big reasons. Because God's saying no or because you're asking for the wrong thing. The third one is maybe sometimes God's telling you to wait. And when God's telling you to wait, he usually makes it apparent that he's telling you to wait. He gives you some kind of a sign or an answer that shows that that's what you're supposed to be doing. But when God says no, sometimes he doesn't give you a good reason. It is not incumbent upon me to always be giving a good reason why I say no. I try to, because it helps her understand as she's growing and learning. But sometimes I just have to say no, because it's something she's not going to understand until later in life. God does that with us too. He says no, because it's something we're not ready for yet. And God wants to answer our prayer. God desires for us to be fulfilled. He says, I have plans for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you. And to say that one in context, he was saying it to the children of Israel who were in exile in Babylon and saying, I have plans to prosper you, but first you have to go through this pain of being in exile. I will make Israel great again after you come back from this punishment that I have ordained for you. Sometimes God's answer involves being punished. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. That wasn't a reward. But what do we do when God says no? What do we do when we ask for something and God doesn't provide it? I know a ton of people who ask for something and then God didn't give it to them right away, so they fell away from God. They got so mad that they just went, well, God's not going to give me what I want. I'm just leaving. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not going to love God. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm going to go become an atheist and live however I want. You can't be an atheist if you're mad at God. You understand that? If you're mad at God, it means that you believe in him somehow. So you can't be an atheist if you're mad at God. There was a pastor who had to field this question on a radio show. Somebody called up, and they started ranting and raving about how there was no God because God worked them. And they said, well, first, you're not an atheist because you're mad at God. Second, if you're mad at God, why are you telling me about it? Go tell him. And so they said, okay, I'll go tell him about it. That person's a pastor now. Because God talked back and answered. If God doesn't give you what you want right away, the thing to do is to go ask your mom. Change your prayer from just beating on the door for the one thing and try to figure out what he wants you to be saying. What he wants you to be doing different. If he's telling you to wait, then perhaps you don't have to do anything. But ask God why you have to wait. Continue with your faithfulness because God is eternally faithful. What is that song that we like to sing? It comes from the wellspring of our spirit, saying to God, I'm okay with this. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Somebody took that song and put it into a more modern song, just saying, even if God doesn't answer my prayer, it is well with my soul. We have our eternal prayer answered because Jesus died on the cross. If we don't get a prayer today answered, what difference does it make in the long run? If my prayer is that if I find out I have a deadly disease and my prayer is for God to heal me of it and he decides not to, I'm still going to end up in heaven. If my prayer today is for me to have more money so that I don't have to worry about how much is in my checking account, and he doesn't answer it, what does it matter? I'm still going to end up in heaven. My prayer is for, I don't know, nicer shoes. And I don't get nicer shoes. What does it matter? I'm still going to end up in heaven. It is well with my soul. Paul talks a lot, and I'm going to talk about this in a sermon in a couple of weeks, but Paul talks a lot about the things that happened to him in his pursuit of Jesus and in sharing Jesus with people. And he said, I don't count any of these things as bad things. They are all good. Why? Because it was well with his soul. Amen. Let us say just a tiny prayer to God, thanking him for his goodness and for his answering prayers in our lives. Lord God, we come before you this morning to thank you, to praise you. We sing the song, Lord, I just want to thank you. And we ask for you today to continue being faithful, for you have promised so many things to us. And we ask for you to always continue talking to us, continue with that friendship that you have with us. We love you, Lord. Amen.